Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hey, thanks for being with us today. Janie and I are finishing chapter 4 of Philippians, where Paul shares peace from prison.
Peace is not a commodity that we can buy and sell. Peace is a person. So what he's saying is, I've learned to be content because I know in whom I have entrusted my life. And it has been tested in all of these different circumstances. And the person of Jesus Christ, God Almighty, has always been sufficient. So therefore, I can be content. And when we're haphazard in our time with him, we don't develop that good relationship.
Now, Janie, this chapter is rich in practical teachings that when applied, we will have the peace of God.
Well, actually, the latter part, starting in at verse 10 and going through the end of the chapter, really has three key components that we need to look at and why we need to look at them.
Okay.
And the first one is down in really verse 11, where Paul says that he has learned to speak in regards to need. He's learned to be content, whether he abases or abounds, whether he has much, whether he has little, whether he's in a good time or he's in a challenging time. He has learned what it is to be hungry and to suffer need and then yet still have plenty. So that's something that takes a lifetime for most of us to learn. That's why I was a little wondering how we were going to get that done in 25 minutes, Sharon.
Isn't that really the definition of peace?
It is. Yes,
I mean,
it
when
is.
You can be in any situation, whether it is abounding or whether it is a base or whether you're hungry or you've got plenty, that you have peace.
Yes, and you know what? Peace is not a commodity that we can buy and sell. Peace is a person.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's saying is, I've learned to be content because I know in whom I have entrusted my life. And it has been tested in all of these different circumstances. Uh-huh. And the person of Jesus Christ, God Almighty, has always been sufficient. So therefore, I can be content.
And I think that that is the core of understanding peace and hope and love is the person of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. And yet we can throw a little side note in here that will tell you that one way to get this established is through a very elementary process that we are responsible for, and that is we need to formulate a habit.
Okay.
So that if I wake up every morning and I choose with my free will to have a quiet time with him, to get, let's say, all the cards on the table for the day, mm-hmm. commit my will, commit my heart, ask the Lord to guide me, show me his grace if I mess up, and I establish this as a routine, then when something really hits, I've already established in my head and in the rest of my body what it will naturally want to respond to, because it is a habit. And many times people pray for something, Lord, give me this, give me that, and he says, I've given you the ability to make the choice. I've given you the ability to establish a habit, mm-hmm. that will automatically cause you to look unto me because of the relationship. So right. That's a little tidbit, but that's something that we need to be responsible. And when we're haphazard in our time with him, mm-hmm. we don't develop that good relationship.
Right, right.
So it's important that we do establish that. Then we go down to verse 13, and he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
Oh, that's a famous verse of scripture.
Yes.
And we use that a lot.
And we misuse it a lot.
Okay.
Because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We put the emphasis on I can do, and we don't put the emphasis on through Christ Jesus. So mm-hmm. we have a tendency to do one of Moses' old tricks, and that is God's will, my way.
Oh.
Now, I'm not being negative, but what we're wanting to do today is to show the truth and then show where we can get sidetracked by not appropriating it, and then this doesn't look true.
Okay, so what is do all things? 'Cause I would think that that would be the part that we get messed up on, is the doing all things.
Well, and that usually we...
So we get into service and doing and...
We are programmed to perform, and that's from childhood. So we carry that habit into our church life, into our social life, into our relationship lives. So being broken, the Lord said that He is always close to those who are of a broken and contrite spirit. Well, I know that right now, in my many years of living, I can't do anything right apart from Christ. Now, Sharon, I can do many things that produce a lot of activity.
Yeah,
I can be just as busy 18 hours a day. Bob just saying, would you please shut it down and go to bed? All right. But through Christ is a different thing, because then when I do it through Christ, it is His character. It is His disposition.
And you know, Janie, I was just thinking this morning, this time last year, I was program director for the radio station. I was doing interviews. I was a radio host. I was a Sunday school teacher, director of women's ministries. I mean, and
not to mention wife and mother.
And not to mention wife and mother, and, you know, trying to be friends and all of those things. And it's just like slowly, I've looked back, and slowly, one by one by one, God has taken those things from me, not to hurt me,
no,
but to get me to refocus. And so having cancer now
has caused a refocus, doesn't it?
Well, it's caused me to have to give up a lot of things, a lot of doing things, to refocus my attention. And so I don't go out much because I try to stay healthy and rest, because the chemo takes such a toll on my body. But I spend a lot of time reading and praying and a lot of time with Him. And it has just really opened a lot of doors for understanding, rather than a lot of doors of opportunity for doing.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
And so there's this fine line. You know, they always say you always put God first, family second, and ministry last when you're in ministry. And so the fine line between God and ministry has always been blurred for me, because ministry is God and God is ministry. And so how do you separate the two? Because that's who you're working for. That's who you're doing it for. And so God has just really helped me see that defined line.
Well, and He's given us
this cancer.
He's given us an example of Mary and Martha. Mm-hmm. You've just described your two personalities.
Right.
All right. And yet the Lord did choose to prioritize that Mary had chosen the better part. Mm-hmm. And that can be very irking, as it was to Martha as a doer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we were to bring her a conversation with the Lord up to present day verbiage, it would be, I can't believe you're letting Mary get by with sitting around and doing nothing when I've got to do all the preparation.
Right.
Lord, don't you realize that we need to feed you and take care of these things? And we can visit later on after the work is done.
Right.
Of course, then we'll be too tired to hear. but you see the logic that we really, that's a wild of the enemy. Just stay busy doing for the Lord and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
That's not the words of the Lord, though. So we need to listen
because we really do see sitting as doing nothing in our prayer time. You know, we've talked about that, being in the shepherd's field, you know, having that alone time with God. We see that as wasted time if we're not doing something.
Yes.
And that's just our natural.
Well, you just hit it. That's our natural.
Our natural way.
Inclination. Yes. Well, okay, so we've touched on that one. And then the third thing that we need to make sure that we are hearing correctly, and that's in verse 19. And it is, and my God shall supply all your foolish desires and everything that you want.
Janie, what version are you reading?
Okay, you caught that. Okay, well, that is the way many people read that verse. Anything I want, since I'm God's child and I'm the King's kid, I just go tell Abba Father or Daddy, I want this and I expect it to be delivered and I'd like to have it today, by the way. That is never the scriptural way of living down here. Mm-hmm. If we are taught to be putting on the armor and we have a battle, then we just don't go to the candy store and pick up something that we want when we want it. So the correct reading here is, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Again, we have the source, Christ Jesus. We have the quantity of the source, which is his riches, which is totally unlimited. But the need is also as he sees the need. So my thinking of the needs that I want may not be the needs that I need. So I then have to realize that he will determine what need is truly a need and fill it accordingly.
Because really, he can see around the corner. He can see down the road. He knows what we're going to need in the future.
And yet we can certainly walk in unbelief because we lose a job. We lose our health. We lose a relationship. Divorce, death, mm-hmm. and we're thinking, if you are that great of a God that have all the riches to supply all the need, why did you let this happen? And so immediately we question him and go into unbelief. Now, Sharon, anybody who's lost a child probably has asked why, mm-hmm. and they should never get under guilt for asking why. But they have to realize that his ways are not our ways. And he lives in a timeless eternity. He knows before the foundations of the world to the end of eternity. And there's no end of eternity. And it's all now with him. So he doesn't panic because he knows how everything is working out according to his divine plan. That's where the word faith has to bring a reality to this last mm-hmm. portion of Philippians 4 that we're discussing.
And that kind of concept is so hard for us to wrap our heads around to understand. And that's why we have to have faith.
That's exactly right. And then I'm going to cut us a little slack. We've never lived as a spirit only. We've always had bodies. Mm-hmm. We've always lived with circumstances. We've always had to respond to crisis and change, and we really don't know anything else. So how does faith become something more than a five-letter word? It comes about with the very things we're discussing, the things that we want to avoid. So rather than building our faith, mm-hmm. when the trial hits, we try to run and either blame someone or we try to escape. Or I visited with someone the other day who just said, I'm pulling back. I'm just pulling back. When did God pull back except when he knew that someone had totally rejected him? And then I'm going to say one thing. He didn't pull back from even Judas
right.
until the very last when Satan had entered him. And he knew that Judas's mind was sealed.
Right.
But God is always going forward to draw. He may do it in ways that we don't see. There may be a time lapse, but he's always drawing us.
And we always seem to look at, especially when there's circumstances and situations like you've been talking about, we always look at the natural, the physical. We look at the situation. If we will dig, there's a place that we can find the spiritual aspect, the spiritual teaching in that physical situation, in that physical problem or physical relationship. So we can find the spiritual lesson that God's teaching us or the spiritual aspect that God is getting us to in order to be able to trust him beyond that day, beyond that situation, beyond that circumstance. And so that just takes spending time with him and growing in your faith. learning to trust Him and knowing how to, like Paul says here, how to have peace in the midst of every situation.
And sometimes I'll do something which is perhaps childlike, but when I'm struggling with something, I will take one of my hands and I will hold one of my hands with the other hand. And then there's a little old-fashioned song that says, He holds my hand, Jesus holds my hand, safely to heaven He leads the way, He is my shepherd night and day, He holds my hand. And as I even feel that pressure from my hand holding another hand, mm-hmm. it gives my whole being the sensing that I am under His care. Mm-hmm. And we have to balance out Him as the great physician, the great shepherd, but also the righteous judge.
Right.
And all of those things are equal. So when we talk about the wiles of the enemy, we don't have to go into a semester of study. What we need to do is to look at how He pulls us off. And one of the main reasons that He pulls us off, or ways, is through division.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you want to address how you see Him pulling us into being divisive?
Well, I think He pulls us apart and divides us by our differences, because we'll look at each other and because somebody is not like us or doesn't do things the way we do them, we see them as
wrong
as
or different.
Wrong. Yeah. And so that's one way.
I looked up in my reference guide 13 times between Romans 15 and 1 Peter 3:8. He tells us that we are to be one body,
mm.
one mind, one accord. I mean, yeah. the number one, number one, number one, constantly. So if the enemy can do anything to make us two,
mm-hmm.
Whether there is strife, contention, what have you, then we need to recognize we're getting pulled off of the path that we've been called to walk. Now, I found a fact that I cannot believe. I have not validated this, but I'm going to say it because I got it from some research. And that is, there are at least 33,000 different denominations.
Wow.
Now, if that is a true fact, can you imagine an unbeliever looking at supposedly the Christian world and saying, they say they're supposed to be one, but they've got 33,000 different facets. And there's a different facet because there's something where they're not one
uh-huh.
in unity.
Uh-huh.
And when we look at the New Testament shows how the believers in each locale came together daily, and they shared time together, they shared their food, they shared their resources, and they prayed together. They were one.
Mm-hmm.
And now can you see how the enemy, through progression, has caused us to be a divided?
And what did he do with Jesus in Matthew 4? He used the word of God and twisted it to go against what it really meant. And so that's what we're doing too, is he's twisting the scripture on us, and we're believing lies from the enemy about the word of God, and that divides us and causes so many different denominations.
And that's a very good point, because let's just say, Sharon, you and I come together and we have an agreement, which we did when we decided to do this unrescripted, unearthed get together. I hope your cup of coffee's full. All right. But in Luke, and it's only in Luke, Sharon, it's not in the other Gospels, there's this little phrase after the wilderness testing, and it says, and he departed, that Satan, until a more convenient time. So that doesn't mean that because you and I are one in agreement and going on, that a month or 6 months or a year or 2 years later, all of a sudden, mm-hmm. he will reappear at his more convenient time, when maybe we're struggling with an issue or a situation and we allow him in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Paul kept
saying, so we always have to be on guard.
You can never, hey, if he doesn't take coffee breaks and he's on the job 24/7, then we have to be the same. So when we lay our heads at rest at night, we commit our hearts and our mind and our thinking unto the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit to hold us in our, even because your brain keeps thinking while you're sleeping. You may not remember it, but it doesn't just shut down. It keeps rolling on. So we really have to have that mindset. The day is coming when we will live with our new bodies in a tranquil peace. And we're in training for that right now. But we have to know how to war against the enemy, because he's still going to be around for a while.
And you know, you said something one time that that a lot of times in Christianity we board a ship thinking that it's a cruise ship. And we really get on a battleship and we try to make it a cruise ship.
That's right.
Because there's not a, it's not a rose garden and it's not a cruise ship. It's a battleground. And we need to treat Christianity as though it is a battleground. And we're battling Satan every day, and we should be.
I tell you what, I don't know how much time we've got left, Sharon, but let me just go through a few ways that he attacks with the scripture.
Okay.
The three really outstanding verses here, they can all be done successfully, but it's through the person of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
But we're going to know that he's going to attack, and we're speaking of the enemy now, he's going to attack the heart, the inner being. And Judas is our prime example.
Okay.
When he entered Judas, it was sealed. He attacks the physical and the mental. That's in Acts 10, where it says that Jesus went about healing all those that were oppressed.
Okay.
So he definitely, we have to realize the enemy will oppress us, and that can go into our mind, will, emotions, physical, mental. And then he prompts offenses that result in bitterness. And Hebrews 12:15 says that bitterness is the one mindset that not only corrupts the person that has it, but also destroys and corrupts all those that are around that spirit of bitterness.
Oh, okay.
And you can sense that when you're with someone by their verbiage. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Right.
And a bitterness is a destroyer. Satan is the destroyer. He also holds people captive. And you know the word that he uses for holding them captive?
Unforgiveness?
Yes. If you don't forgive and learn how to forgive and why it's necessary to forgive all, you will meet up with some of Satan's finest tormentors. And they will take hold every time you choose to add another unforgiveness to your list.
Yeah.
And there's a beautiful parable and illustration in the Bible that talks about being turned over to the tormentors.
And that's Matthew 18.
Yes. And then he walks around like a roaring lion. And a roaring lion loves to scare people. And if you're solid, you hear his roar, but he doesn't captivate you. But if you're a wounded deer or you're a wounded gazelle, you're a wounded animal, and that roar comes, it paralyzes you, and then you're set up to be destroyed. So again, we can go on and on and on, but we'll give you an idea that as you just read the Word of God, you can see the devil in action. And that's how you learn his wiles. If there's something that talks about defeat, despair, discouragement, division, disappointment, pride, you're looking at Satan's wiles.
And if you're in a relationship where you're starting to see that come about, you know Satan's at the root of that.
And then we remember in closing that pride is at the bottom of the barrel. And pride is me, myself, and I. And that's why we want Jesus Christ to be our all in all.
Amen. All right, Janie, well, it seems we're out of time. Do you want to close us in prayer?
I will do that. I will be delighted to praise you, Father, because you said that we were to always come to you rejoicing. So we rejoice that no matter what you choose to take us through, that you have said to find praise because you already have the solution worked out. And as we trust you, put our hope in you, Father, the deliverance is there. And we praise you that you have everything worked out not only in eternity past, but for all of eternity that is to come. Thank you for being our God. Amen.
Amen. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzlaff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again, or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.